Good morning. Wow, I'm very loud. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us this day. Today we're going to be reflecting upon passing on the faith to the next generation is kind of the theme all throughout this whole service, and how fitting it begins actually with baptisms. And so I'd like to invite the family, the boys who are being baptized, the family and the sponsors up at this time for a baptism. Well, beginning our service as we always do, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And in the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." And so I ask you, how are you named?
Donald.
Excellent. Well, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart as one redeemed by Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, I thank you that you have brought these, your children, into a relationship with you. And I thank you that in the waters of holy baptism, you call them to be your own. I pray that every day by the work of your Holy Spirit in them, they would follow your teachings and your leadings. In Jesus' name, amen. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. And so, in my opinion, the role of a sponsor is to encourage the faith of the ones that they sponsor and to pray for them. And so I ask you, is it your intention to serve as a sponsor for these three boys? If so, say yes. There you go. You already got the words. Fantastic. All right. Well, may God enable you both the will to do this and faithful, loving work with his grace fulfill what you are unable to do. May you do this with the Holy Spirit guiding you. Amen. All right. A congregation. This is the part where I like to get everybody involved. Here it is. We're going to pray as Jesus taught his disciples. And so together we pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Do you desire to be baptized today? Yes, yes, yes. Excellent. All right, then I'm going to get you guys to come over here. All right. So Damien, go ahead and come over here. Damien Wyatt Kimbrell, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go ahead and step down over this way. Donald. Donald Eugene Kimbrell, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dominic Michael Kimbrell, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're fine. All right. So, as well, we have some gifts for you to help commemorate what it is that God has done in your life. And so we have candles. So I'm going to give each of you, I'm going to light it from the candle here on the altar. So receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ, and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him in joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end. In holy baptism, God has made you members of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heirs with us all the treasures of heaven. and in the one holy Christian apostolic church, we receive you in the name of our, in the name of Jesus, as brothers in Christ, that together we might hear his word and receive his gifts and proclaim the praise of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And the whole congregation can say, we welcome you in the name of the Lord. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Amen. All right. Well, thank you. You can go ahead and blow out your candles. And something you could do if you want is on the anniversary of today, August 11th, you could light that remembering how it was that on this day you were baptized in the triune name of God. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Please stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you call us to be your own. That we have received the faith from you and through the previous generation who passed it on to us. I pray this day that you would open our ears to hear your truth and your word and follow where you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all your sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Silence, drive the darkness down away. you.
Our brother, all who live.
Good morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm an elder here at St. Mark's. It is my privilege to share the first scripture reading with you this morning. From the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 1 to 9 and 20 to 25. These are the commands, decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In the future, when your son asks you, "What is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you?" tell him, "We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as in the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness." Thus concludes the first scripture reading.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from Psalm 78. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation will know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn will tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn, rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. At this time, I invite the children forward for our children's message.
Good morning. Am I on? I am. So if you guys could kind of look this way just for a second, because I want you to look at me and see, is there anything that you think looks a little bit different about me?
There's something on your forehead.
There's something on my forehead. Anything else?
Something on your hand.
I have blocks on my hands. Is that a little weird?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk to you about those. Can you say this word, phylacteries?
Phylacteries.
Do you see them around much?
No.
No. So in our first Bible reading, I want to read it, get it right. It says, these commandments that I, God, give you, really important. My words, God's words, are really important. And I want you to impress them or tell them to your children And then it says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. So where's this one?
Your hand.
That one's on my hand. And where's this one?
Your forehead.
My forehead. And actually, Jewish men used to take leather and they would make these straps and they would make little boxes and they would put pieces of God's word in the boxes. Because did they have Bibles yet?
No.
Long, long time ago? Did they have books of any kind? No, they didn't have any books. And there were, there were some things called what?
Scrolls.
Scrolls. Did everybody have these?
No.
No, they were just in the temple. So what people would do is they'd take little pieces of parchment and they would put important words from God and they'd put them in these little boxes. Why do you think they would do that?
So they could remember the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, because they're supposed to be teaching them to their children, and you can't teach something that you don't know. I've tried it. It does not work. So they would put the scripture in here, and they would see it when they were praying, and they would feel it on their forehead, and they would open the box and take the scripture out, read it and remember it, and then put it back. Now, like I said before, do we see these very much?
No.
No, we don't see these very much. But it also says, write them, God's words, on your door frames, in your house, and on your gates. Do we do that?
Yes.
I have a couple things here. One of them is a cross with who on it?
Jesus.
That's Jesus. And for some of you who have been here a while, Chris Linenbroker made this in 1987. And Chris's dad, Marvin, designed that cross. So Chris was in my first class when I was a teacher here, and this was an art project, and he just made a Jesus on the cross. I have that in my house. Do you think I remember Jesus when I look at this? I do. So that's one way that I'm keeping God's word. I have. Oh, somebody made this for me. It says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that a way to keep God's word where I'll remember it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. This is just a little one I have on my windowsill. And it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. And when I read that, do you think it helps me remember God's word? Do you think other people come to my house and see it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm kind of passing it on. And then every year, the kids that go to school here, they get a shirt. And guess what it has on the back of it?
A cross.
A cross. And what else?
A Bible verse.
A Bible verse. And every time they go on a field trip or have a special event, they put those shirts on and they remember it, and everybody else does too. So we need to know God's word by studying it, reading it, hearing it, and we need to pass it on. So I thought maybe, do you want to check the boxes and see if there's any scripture in there?
Yes.
Should we do that?
Yes.
Okay. Box number, oh, look what's in the box. Will you repeat after me? We'll kind of do this as our prayer. Oh, this is a good one. For God so loved the world,
for God so loved the world,
that he gave his only son,
that he gave his only son,
so that whoever believes in him,
so that whoever believes in him,
will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. How many of you know that verse? Yeah, and I just thought, too, you guys are going to be able to look at those candles every year, too, right? Remember your baptism. What about this one? You think there's one in there?
Yeah.
Of course there is. What do we got in here? Oh, another Bible verse. This one is from our Bible reading today. Love the Lord your God. With all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. Deuteronomy 6:5. And all God's children said, Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Quick disclaimer. Any resemblance to a tune that you might be familiar with that may or may not be copyrighted is completely in the mind of the hearer and is in no way a reflection of the person who just made noises with his mouth. Just gotta say that. On an unrelated note, so the Olympics are ending today. And there's an image that begins every Olympics that I think is a very apt image for us. And I'm not talking about necessarily all of the opening ceremony. In fact, I'm not going to go there with this year's opening ceremony. Although, side note, if you want to discuss this year's opening ceremony, at least one key part of it, that's going to be the focus of today's Bible class. So just a shameless plug there in case you want to attend that. But no, it's the passing on the torch relay that I think is really neat. Started in 1934, there was this huge gap of time, I assume because of World War II, kind of does that. But then they started up the practice again, and it's neat. They always have the torch relay start in Olympia, Greece. Always the same source of the initial flame, and then it travels and goes to wherever it is that the Olympics are being held. And so it was neat, actually, the three times that the United States has been host in Atlanta, in L.A., and in Salt Lake City, the torch came into America and passed through St. Louis all three times. And so I'm hopeful and excited when the next one is in L.A. that maybe it'll pass through St. Louis again and maybe we can see it. But it's a neat thing as you have, again, it begins this flame in Olympia. And it travels, ultimately, and as it goes, people have a turn holding it, and they pass it off to the next runner, and on it goes. And I think that's a very apt picture of what it is that we who are followers of Christ are called to do. For it is that we have received the flame of faith. Many of us were raised in the church by our parents or our grandparents. Many of us have heard about the faith from other people, other Christians, who have been running the race of faith their entire lives. And so it is that we are called to take what we have been given and pass it on to the next generation. Here again, the words from our reading today. The first one from Deuteronomy. Moses has just recapped for the Israelites all the law, the Ten Commandments and other laws that God had given to Moses. Deuteronomy means second telling of the law. And he is recapping everything in the book of Deuteronomy for these people. And he says, this commandment, these things that God has instructed you to do, the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land in which you are going over to possess. See, they're right there on the cusp of going into the promised land. And they haven't quite made it. They finished up their 40-year wandering that God had punished the rebellious people, even though they were his people with. And Moses says that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be long, Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. Do you think he means all the time? If not, I'm telling you, he means all the time. And that there's not a time as you are passing on the truths of God to your children that the truth of God should not be shaping your very self and should not be discussed. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. I appreciate Mrs. Armbruster coming up and having that imagery there. And part of it as well with that, by having it there on your hand, while sure, you don't walk on your hands, I mean you could, but most of the actions that you do are with your hands. And if they are right there, then every time you are taking an action, it is shaping the very action that you do. And on your forehead, while it's not physically touching your thoughts, at the same time, it's a metaphor. May the word of God shape every single thought that you have, and may it never depart from there. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. As well, from Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Part of what God has done in establishing the family is establishing that parent to child and child becoming parent to child and on down, this faith, this truth, the things of God might be passed on. It's interesting, as I was preparing for this sermon, I was remembering my time in youth and children's ministry. I served as a director of Christian education prior to going to the seminary in Clayton. And as I was serving the youth, there was an entity called Fuller Youth Institute that is very mindful of, has a big desire for equipping and helping the passing on of the faith to the next generation. And as I was looking at their website recently, they had a statistic on there that was very daunting. It yet seemed to reflect very similar to what it was when I was serving in youth ministry. It said that based on their data, their research, about 50% of individuals who regularly attend church, when they go off on their own, about 50% fall away from the faith. Another interesting statistic, this from a different entity, Barna Group, who does a lot of different polls and research and things. They had polled 600 children's ministry workers and over 2,000 adults. I'm not sure on the percentages of how many had children in the age of 4 to 13, but it said some of them were that way and some were just other adults in the congregation. And asked, well, where is it that children's faith formation takes place. And if you asked either the parents or other adults in the congregation, it was about 50-50 as far as 50% said, oh, that happens at church, and 50% that said, oh, that happens primarily at home. And when they asked the 600 children's ministry workers, about 95% said it happens at the home. And 5% said, yeah, for the primary place is at church. And if you think about it just from a strict numbers, if it's taking place primarily at the church, parents bring their kids to church and hopefully there's some faith formation happening there in the worship service. Maybe they stick around for Sunday school. It's another hour. When I did youth ministry, I had on Wednesday nights a two-hour youth ministry of fellowship time and then an hour of Bible study. You know, so for those youth who regularly went to both things, to an hour roughly long church service, an hour Bible class, and then 2 hours on Wednesday night, it's 4 hours. And so there's more math than you might want, but it's what I did, so here you go. 16 hours a day times 7 days a week. At 4 hours of your life waking, it's 3.5%. So in other words, how much formation can actually happen for an individual if the only time that they spend being formed is 3.5% of their waking hours? And that was part of, I think, a reflection on why so many children's ministers say, you know, realistically, we don't get that much time with these individuals to be considered the primary shapers of their faith. And the truth, actually, if you look at other statistics, I've commonly seen that the most influential individual or individuals in the life of a child is their parents. Yes, they have influence by their friends, by their teachers, by other adults, by the media, but consistently the most influential people in the life of a child is and will continue to be the parents, for better or for worse. And so it's a really big deal, this calling to parents to pass on the faith to their children. Which is why I want to highlight two particular things that are coming up, one this month, one beginning next month. And the first is next month, I'm going to be teaching a class, which I'm hoping to be an opportunity for parents to come together and talk about the realities and the difficulty that is raising children in the faith. We're going to be utilizing a resource written by a guy named Justin Whitmill Early called Habits of the Household. Simple practices to help you and your family draw closer to God. And so looking at, well, what is it that you do on a day-to-day basis, and how is it that those things communicate the faith to your children? And the other thing is something that's happening. You have an insert in your bulletin at the end of this month. On August 24th, it's going to be at Pathfinder Church. And we're bringing out a pastor who, he and his wife wrote this book, Joining Jesus as a Family. And not to take away from, if you go to that event, what you might hear, I just want to pull one thing from that that was really intriguing to me. And he talks about how it is that Jesus, when he discipled his disciples, when he taught them about the faith, one of the big things that he hit early is their identity. And as you look at a person's identity, you have, of course, the epitome question, well, who am I? Then, of course, the next question is, well, what is my worth? What is my value in this world? And lastly, what is it that I do? And if you look at any individuals who have kind of a crisis of identity, it all revolves around one or multiple of those things. You know, when you say, well, what I do is X, Y, Z, and suddenly I can't do that anymore, I have a crisis of identity. Or if, you know, what I think I'm of value for, if that's taken away from me, then everything is confused and lost. So, for example, going back to kind of how important it is, this idea of communicating to children from a young age your identity and your worth is rooted in Christ. You are valuable to God. You are a child of God. Everything shaping that. When I worked in youth ministry, spring was a hard time. And the reason why spring was a hard time, really throughout the country, but especially in Northern Virginia, where I served, there was so much pressure on so many individuals to get into an Ivy League school. And when your whole identity from the age of one is wrapped up in you will be the most achieving individual that you possibly can be so that you can get into a good school so that your trajectory in life is through the roof. And you don't get a perfect score on the ACT or the SAT. And everything that your identity was rooted in has been lost. Or you don't get that sports scholarship that you were expecting to do. You've been training, you know, doing club sports and school sports and all kinds of sports, and your identity is wrapped up in what your trajectory for the future is. And when all that is taken away, you have no identity. And spring was a hard time because there were so many people who ended their life because their identity was gone, because of what their identity was rooted in. And even if it's not that, a book that I had read when I was studying to be a DCE and as well looked at when I was serving as a DCE, there's a book called Hurt. There's a second edition, Hurt 2.0. And the individual who wrote it, he worked in ministry, and he actually went to a high school and had permission to interview students. And they said, you know, yeah, you can tell exactly what we say as long as you don't put our name in it. I just want to share three quotes from you about the outlook of things. And this was written, the first research by this guy was when I was going through high school, and he did an update 7 years later that not much had changed. And I imagine even to today, this is perhaps a reflection of many youth. One said, I can't ever find someone to talk to who knows how I'm feeling. My parents always say that they know how I feel and that they've been there. But times have changed. They don't know what I'm going through. And so I'm forced to keep my feelings bottled up inside. Sometimes I just crack. I get into everyone I am around, and I hate it. I wish I could find someone to talk to who knows me and understands me. Or as well, I could stare in the mirror for hours and find no connection between my thoughts and the face staring back at me. He seems more like a poorly casted actor whose eyes show his disdain for his role. And yet he smiles. He leads an exceptional life with above average grades and social skills. I just wish my real life were more like the person radiating from his smile. Other people seem like actors and actresses in the same sick drama, almost unreal to me. I have to remind myself when I speak to them that it is the actor they see and not an image more fairly representative of my thoughts. I feel like a renegade separating myself from my intended role. And yet my misery seeks no company. I consider myself too humane to invite stable minds into my thoughts, like enticing the healthy to a leprous colony. I therefore suffer in silence, longing to be understood by refusing to share such a nightmare with the unknowing. It is a lonely place in the mind of an unwilling actor. And a third voice. I might seem like I would fit in, but I'm not too popular. I try to fit in as best as I can. I think that I do a pretty good job. I just don't know what I did to not fit in. It may be just a stage in my life, but I never feel in the right place. This makes me feel so depressed, but I never show it. I always come off as a happy person to those that I meet. There's a quote that's attributed to G.K. Chesterton concerning fairy tales. He said, fairy tales don't tell children that dragons are real. they already know that dragons are real. Fairy tales tell children that dragons can be killed. Fairy tales being a form of communication that evokes and uses fantasy, that uses the unreal, and yet communicates truths. And the reality is that dragons are real. Not in the sense that there's a flying lizard-like creature that breathes fire. But the dragons of pain and suffering. The dragons of depression and darkness. The dragons of not knowing what is solid footing. But thankfully, it's not just the fairy tales that communicate how dragons can be killed. But it's the very truth of God that assures us that God has not abandoned us to our dragons. But the passing on of these truths of God is not just only solely the responsibility of parents to their children, but rather there's an opportunity for all of God's people to come together. I really enjoyed with this particular Olympics in the opening ceremony of the passing of the torch, how it was at the very end. They had somebody pass off the torch and they continued to run alongside. And then as the next one is passed, they continue to run alongside. So at the very end, you had a whole group of people who are running together for this purpose. And I think that is an apt picture of the church. For while parents are the primary ones responsible for passing the faith on to their children, they do not do so alone. But there is the charge of all of us to come alongside the families who are in our midst and walk with them. This part of why, when I put together the group, the Koinonia, the short-term gather-together-for-meals group, one of my hopes with that was that as people get to know each other, there's an opportunity for groups to get to know families that join. Not many families signed up, but I tried my best to kind of put them in different groups. And how crucial it is to get to know families and to pour into them. Those of you who have been around long enough to see many dragons in your lifetime and have seen how it is that God has helped you defeat all of them. One last part of the reading that I have not yet noted from Deuteronomy 6. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are to this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do this commandment for the Lord our God that he has commanded us. For we all were slaves to our sin. Probably not in Egypt. But wherever we found ourselves, unable to free ourselves from the bondage, and yet God did what was necessary. He sent his son to take on flesh, to be the atoning sacrifice, to die in our place. He sends us the Holy Spirit through whom we have life and knowledge of God. Each of you has a story to tell. Has a story of how it is that God has defeated your dragons. How God has given you the Holy Spirit so that you, at times, might be able to defeat the dragons that tempt you to despair. Tempt you to despise other people. Tempt you to feel that there is no hope, no light in this world. But the truth is that there is. For God is the light of the world, and he has given to you the way out. And so part of your calling as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple, is to share those stories. To share those stories to your children, to your grandchildren. To share those stories with other people, other fellow Christians. Because the day will come again where they are once again fighting a dragon. But they do not fight alone. For part of how God cares for his children is by giving us each other. And so I mentioned Koinonia before. We're doing Koinonia again, and I think it's a great opportunity, bigger picture, to say, hey, I need to connect with other people in this congregation in a way that otherwise I haven't. And they need me to connect with them. Because here's an opportunity to get to know the children, the youth of this congregation, the families of this congregation, and to tell them the stories of what it is that God has done in and through me. As well, we have one other event coming up at the end of this month. A wonderful fellowship event of a picnic. On that day, we're going to be celebrating how we have new members who have gone through new member class and joined our congregation. And at that picnic, it's an opportunity again for you all to connect, to get to know, to say, you know, I've seen you from afar in this room when we worship together, but I have no idea your name. I know nothing about you. And yet God calls us into a community. So that should change. So let's talk. So recognize the calling which God has placed upon you as his disciple. That you are a part of the individuals who are called to pass on the faith, to share the good news, to speak of how it is that God has worked in and through your life on to those who are still learning, still growing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sometimes sorrow is the door to peace. Sometimes heartache is the gift I need. Your faithful in all things. In every high, in every low, on mountain tops, down broken roads, you're still my rock, my hope remains. I'll rest in the arms of Jesus, come what may. The Lord is my shepherd, leads me to still waters, and he restores my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, leads me to still waters, and he restores my soul.
continue with a profession of our shared faith with the words of Luther's explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, and that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse, children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. You may be seated. We miss getting into the bulletin that we're also going to be actually installing of our principal and commissioning our teachers and our EC directors and our EC staff. So we can bring the lights up a little bit more than they are because we're not quite doing the prayers of the day. And I invite everybody who I named, or if you know you're supposed to be up here, then please come up here. Thank you. And so what I'm going to be doing actually is I'm going to have a chance for all of the people who are supporting our school and our EC are going to come up here, and then they're going to face you, and I want them to share your name and kind of what areas, you know, or kind of groups that you're going to be teaching, responsible for, directing, all of that. So go ahead and actually turn around and face out that way, and I'm going to start over on this side. So again, introduce yourself and kind of say what all you are serving.
I'm Janet Langreff, and I am the kindergarten teacher.
Good morning. Diana Mears. I'm moving from interim principal to consultant, so I'll be working with the principal on projects and curriculum.
Hello. My name is Susan Mueller, and I teach first and second grade.
I am Maria Sutton, and I'm teaching pre-toddlers, early childhood.
I'm Angela Montgrain. I am the middle school homeroom teacher and athletic director.
Lisa Lockwood, third, fourth, fifth homeroom, and PE.
Annie Lockwood, I am a EC assistant.
Tanya Cuneo, early childhood director.
Good morning, I'm Megan Dinas, and I'll be serving as the new principal.
Jennifer Brevard, and I am the early childhood assistant director, as well as the four-year-old lead teacher.
Nancy Hagen, I believe I'll be with the three-year-olds.
I'm Ann Noman, and I'll be the three-year-old lead teacher.
Hello, I'm Linda Boyer, and I will be with the toddlers.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Beloved in the Lord, these people have been properly asked, and they have signed up, they've volunteered, they've said, yes, we will take this great charge of being a part of this ministry here, our school and our EC. And it's a ministry that is the congregations, and yet we are entrusting / they are following the charge to bear this responsibility, to care for these children as they are being formed, as the faith is being passed on to them. So here from Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so I'm going to start actually with Megan Dinas, as she is our new principal, and I'm installing her as well as like commissioning the rest of you. And so, Megan, I ask you, I'll say what your response is too. I ask you, do you solemnly promise faithfully to serve God's people in the teaching ministry according with the Holy Scripture? If so, say, yes, I promise with the help of God.
Yes, I promise with the help of God.
Excellent. Will you, trusting in God's care, seek to grow in love for those you serve, strive for excellence in your skills, and adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ with a godly life? If so, say, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help
Are you ready and willing to assume the work of this office? If so, say I am.
I am.
Megan, I install you as principal of St. Mark's Lutheran School in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, for the others of you who have been serving faithfully in your respective roles in many ways, similar questions, but now all of you get to respond. Do you solemnly promise faithfully to serve God's people in the teaching ministry in accordance with the Holy Scripture? If so, say, yes, I promise with the help of God.
Yes, I promise with the help of God.
Will you, trusting in God's care, seek to grow in love for those you serve? Strive for excellence in your skills and adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ with a godly life. If so, say, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help of God.
Are you ready and willing to serve in your respective roles? Sorry, I didn't tell you what to say. Say, I am.
I am.
Fantastic. Then I commission you all into your respective responsibilities in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We can clap for them too. That's great. And so we pray. Gracious and most merciful Lord, we thank you for providing faithful men and women into your church. We pray for these women who you have called. We pray that you would guide them by your Spirit. We pray that you would help them to develop relationships with all the children that they are serving, to develop good relationships with each other, and they would work for your good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you. You may go back to your seats. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us faith, that you've created within us faith, and that you give us knowledge of you. And I pray that we would follow every day your will and your ways, that your word and your statutes would forever remain on the forefront of our minds, that they would shape our very thoughts and actions. Lord, I pray that you would help us to pass this faith on to the next generation as you have called us to do. I pray that you help us to do the hard work of forming relationships that allow us to speak your truth to those who need to hear it. Lord, I pray that you would be with our school and our EC. I pray that you'd be with all the children who are grown there, who go there and receive instruction of various sorts, most importantly, the knowledge of you. I pray that you be with the families who are sending their kids, that they might know of your light and your love. And I pray that you be with the teachers, the directors, the principal, all those who are mindful of this ministry, that you would guide them. That St. Mark's would be a place of your love and learning. All these things I pray in Jesus' name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
To you with my heart in pieces. Name of Jesus.
And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Thank you.
right. Well, at this time, I'd like to dismiss any children who are going to Sunday school to go to the back and meet up with our DC Lauren and get over that way. Most of the announcements I have were shameless plugs that I put into my sermon, but I do want to remind about them. We have Bible class today, and the topic is actually going to be how do Christians respond to mockery? Relative a little bit to something that happened at the Olympics opening ceremony. So excited for that as well. I mentioned how there's the event coming up at the end of this month at Pathfinder. And they asked to get kind of a heads up. You don't have to register for it. There's no cost to you. But I do ask if you're thinking of going to that, not that I'm going to hold you to it, but send me an email just so I can communicate to Pathfinder roughly how many people from our congregation are they going. I'd love to say, hey, we got 200 people who are interested in this topic of what it means to join Jesus as a family. I think it'd be really exciting. So let me know. We also, again, have a class that I'll be teaching starting September. It's going to be 6 weeks total teaching, 8 weeks of time. And it's, again, my hope is that its parents can kind of share with each other the joys and the frustrations that is parenting and the joys and frustrations of passing the faith on to children, because it's not an easy thing. And it's something that we can care for and support each other. And like I said, I have a resource that I'm using kind of as a springboard for conversation. As well, again, I have Koinonia, a small group fellowship, short term, where groups will meet in September, October, November over a meal and just get to know what's going on in life. And then hopefully have an opportunity to maybe care for each other in that way. And again, share those stories of how God has been at work in your life. And lastly, again, we have a church picnic. So on August 25th, Sunday, at Kirscher Park, it's going to be following the worship service. We won't have any kind of education time after. Everyone is encouraged to bring a side to share, and the board of directors are going to be cooking hot dogs and hamburgers. Again, that is at Kirscher Park on the 25th. So after running the gamut of announcements, that's all I have for you. So thanks for sticking around. Wonderful worshiping with you today. God's blessing, and have a great week.